We've got a great guest joining us on the line today. Of course, we had Gold Cup action all weekend this weekend, and the US men's national team sweeping past Cuba. A man who's going to talk about the impact of this Gold Cup on the US men's national team and about who is shining and who is failing in a US shirt right about now is the man who is joining me on the line today, our very special guest, Mr. Earl Reed from the World Football Daily Network, the show United States of Football. Earl, joining us on the line to talk all things US men's national team. Earl, how are you today, mate? It's a pleasure to have you on the show, boss.
Well, here in the US of A. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, mate. I'm doing very well indeed. You've got to be pretty darn happy about the form of the US men's national team in the last three games, including that friendly against Guatemala. A flurry of goals, 16 in total, two conceded against Belize and Cuba in this Gold Cup so far. But the performances, especially in the last two games in the Gold Cup, really been something to shout about for the US men's national team.
Absolutely, and it's the tournament that, you know, I think in, you know, certain cases it could be taken a little bit lightly, but Coach Jurgen Klinsmann has really, I think, put the onus on the players to prove they belong in the team. I mean, this is a chance for a lot of these guys to show that they belong in the first team, you know, in the senior team going into the final rounds of World Cup qualifying, and you know, a lot of these guys are stepping up to the plate and really performing well. And, you know, I think the guy that really stands out so far is Chris Wondolowski. He's had five goals in the first two matches of the Gold Cup here against Belize and Cuba. He had a goal against Guatemala in the friendly before that. And he was really on a tough stretch with the U.S. up until this. But once he started pounding in a couple goals, he just hasn't looked back and has just been, the poacher that I think a lot of people saw here in the United States at MLS, but hadn't seen at the international level thus far.
You mentioned they obviously had that wonderful season last year, Wondo, equaling the Major League Soccer scoring record. And in general for the US men's national team has been out in the shadows a lot. But how much these great performances, five goals in two games is obviously phenomenal. But how much do you take it with a pinch of salt because of the caliber of the opposition?
Oh, you have to. I mean, he's going to have to prove in the knockout stages of this tournament that he is able to do this against different competition. You know, against your Mexico's, your Panama's, Honduras. Even Costa. You know, if he gets a start against Costa Rica in this final match of Group C play, if he can do that against teams like those, then at least you can. You could start to chalk it up a little bit, maybe to him being able to perform against the bigger opposition in CONCACAF. And, you know, that's what they really need. I mean, Jozy Altidore has done well so far in the qualifying in these in June especially. They'd really like to have another guy who could play up front, who can come off the bench. And if they really need to kick in a goal, you know, if Wondo can be that guy, you know, more power to him. But you do have to take these with a grain of salt, because Belize is nothing to write home about, and Cuba isn't much better.
Jurgen was talking about it before the tournament, saying this was a chance for some of the younger guys and the inexperienced guys to earn themselves a place potentially in the World Cup squad for next summer. How much do you think that players are going to be given an opportunity? You've mentioned Wondo. I think obviously Landon Donovan still played well as well, and Stuart Holden in the midfield has done well as well. So how do you think these guys will be given that opportunity when World Cup qualification comes around to play against, you know, the Costa Ricas and the Panamas and the Mexicos, but play against their A squads? Because we're not seeing many of the A squads out in the Gold Cup at the moment.
Right, yeah, it is going to be tough. It's going to have to be a progression, I think. You know, I think there's always a hierarchy in these types of teams. And, you know, you have your first teamers, and then you have the guys who can come off the bench. And if a guy off the bench can prove in a big match, because I don't know as I consider the Gold Cup big matches at the moment, but, you know, World Cup qualifiers definitely have a lot of weight. And if they can perform in the clutch when they're expected to, I think Klinsmann is willing to promote some of these guys in the squad and to give them more responsibility. But, you know, you look at the team and you've got guys like Michael Bradley, Jermaine Jones in the midfield for the first team, we'll say, the A team. You know, it's going to be really tough to displace these guys. These guys have been playing well in Europe for for periods of time now, and Klinsmann obviously likes them. You know, your Clint Dempsey's, you know, Graham Zuzzi has done well. So, you know, it's going to be tough for them. But, you know, a guy like Mitch Disterud, I think, has shown well in this tournament. And I think, you know, there haven't been many defensive performances. I mean, Kyle Beckerman in the defensive midfield against Cuba had, I thought, a really good performance. But then again, it's just Cuba. So it's going to have to take some, I think, some real minutes at the, you know, in the big games in order for these guys to really, you know, ascend the charts, so to speak.
We are getting down to crunch time, really, with the World Cup qualification and the World Cup just around the corner, only 12 months away, under 12 months away, of course, in Brazil 2014. How much do you, as a US soccer fan, do you want to see Jürgen mixing with this setup that he has at the moment for World Cup qualification, that's done so well so far at this point, you know, have got their destiny in their own hands when it comes to the hexagonal round? How much do you want to see that tampered with to give some of these guys that are playing well a chance? Would you like to see that as a fan, or would you like at this point to say, kind of, look, let's stick with what we got, let's not twist, and let's just get the job done, get to the World Cup and put a good showing with this group of guys that have got us to this point?
I think with four match days left in this hexagonal, you know, the two biggest ones are coming up in September with Costa Rica on the road and Mexico and Columbus at home. You know, I think if they can get a win and a draw, or possibly, you know, a win and a draw, I think would actually put them through and secure them the World Cup berth. So, you know, once you do that, then if you look at October, you have a couple other matches. I believe Jamaica and Panama would be left. Maybe then you can tweak a little bit and see if you can start working in some depth and try to sort out where you want to go for Brazil, you know, leading into 2014. Up until then, I wouldn't want to see him tinker too much, just because, you know, you have a formula that's working and you want to secure that berth as early as you can. Then you don't have to worry about going into Panama and trying to get a result in that last fixture.
Now, somebody who's had a very relieved weekend when it comes to the Gold Cup has been Chep de la Torre, with the 3-1 win over Martinique, securing their place out of Group A and into the latter stages of the tournament. With the US men's national team flying at this moment in time, they've obviously got this tough game coming up against Costa Rica, and Mexico floundering so much. Are we looking at the US men's national team and thinking this is a side that could genuinely dominate this tournament? Obviously, they haven't come up against great opposition yet, but generally, out of all the sides in this tournament at the moment, they are playing the best football. They're the hottest hand in this Gold Cup right now.
They are, but I think there's also a chance to maybe get a little bit overconfident, because, again, they've played against two teams that I don't think anyone would consider to be high-quality opposition. You know, they really have to focus on Costa Rica. And then they'll be heading into Baltimore on Sunday against, you know, it would be one of the third place teams. You know, it's really not going to come down until probably the semifinal, because I'm not even sure Costa Rica, you know, if you really want to play for first place, you can. It just depends on how Klinsmann wants to approach Costa Rica. If he wants to approach it with pride and want to, you know, put the foot down and say, hey, we're going to take this with 9 points, then, yeah, I mean, that's a chance for them really to show that, yes, they can do it against some opposition that has some clout. But, yeah, they're dominating, but they're dominating weak competitors, and they need to step up in order to, you know, they can't let their guard down and think that it's just going to be as easy as what they've had it thus far, because, you know, I think teams like Mexico and Honduras, if the mood strikes them right, can be very, very difficult, you know, to overcome, especially if you've been kind of flying high like you. You know, maybe the struggle against Cuba in the first half was a good wake-up call for them not to get too overconfident about their situation.
Would it not then be the right choice for Jürgen to get at Costa Rica, to prove to everybody in this tournament that it's not just been Cuba and Belize, we're walking past these two teams because they're not really anything in terms of international pedigree and Gold Cup pedigree? Wouldn't it then be important to almost win the hearts and minds of the tournament at this moment in time, to put in a good showing, put in a strong side rather than mixing it up, and approach that Costa Rica game as if it was the first game or second game of this group stage and they weren't already through?
Yeah, and I agree, and I think Klinsmann has shown that I really think he's a competitive guy. I don't think he wants to undersell a competition, even though, the 2011 version of the Gold Cup had more weight because of the Confederations Cup berth that was at stake. This one isn't quite as prestigious, but still, I think Klinsmann wants to take these things seriously. I think he wants to establish an order amongst the team. So I would imagine he is going to try to take Costa Rica very seriously, put places up for grabs in the team, establish yourself as the first team, at least for this group of players, and then prove it on the field, get the result, and then we'll talk about the qualifiers come September.
Oh, you mentioned at the very beginning of this brief chat about players potentially being able to come into to the World Cup qualification squad. Who then would you be looking to make way in that current crop of players that Jürgen's been using so far in the hexagonal round? Who do you think, whose job is actually at risk when you think about the players that have actually stepped up in this Gold Cup so far? Who's going to be making way?
Well, there's one, and he's not even a starter. I think he's been called in as sort of an outside-the-team left winger, and he showed against Cuba that he probably has worn out his welcome with the team, and that's Breck Shea, the Stoke City midfielder. He had a very poor performance against Cuba. It really stood out, was called out by the commentators here in the U.S. And, he's really going to have to start playing his way at the club, I think, in order to get considered. So, you really want to see, Fabian Johnson from Germany has been the left wing of choice, and I don't think he's going to lose his spot. But you really want to have depth when you're talking about, qualifiers and heading into Brazil, because injuries can crop up at any time, and you want to have people ready. Edgar Castillo, I think, has proven himself to be very adept going forward and attacking. He could play as a left winger if something happened to Johnson. Johnson himself is actually a good left back, so you have options now. I think the left side has been of the most concern for the U.S. in the past, and so if they can sort that out, I think Graham Zuzzi has done well as a creator on the right, and so, Landon Donovan has done okay. I don't know if he's going to be able to supplant Zuzzi, though, right now. I think Zuzzi's been on good form, and so Donovan's really going to have to figure out how he's going to make his way back into the first team. I think it's really difficult to find a spot for him right now.
Is Donovan's experience, though, too important at that sort of level at World Cups, at big competitions? Is it too important, too essential to that starting 11 to have him playing at the World Cup and starting in those games? Do you have to find a way to get Donovan in this squad?
You might, but it might have to change the way that the U.S. plays, though, because he is a guy that likes to cut in and play a little bit narrower, I think, than what Zuzzi can, I think, run up the wing and cross in the ball. We've seen that. It's tough. I do think if you try to find a way, if he's in good form, bring him into the side and get him in there, because, he was very essential to them, advancing out of their group in 2010, and he does have a level of experience. It's just, who do you drop? That's really the, where does he fit in this team? I don't know. That's something that Jürgen Klinsmann is going to have to, really take into consideration before saying, yes, Donovan is our guy going forward in this squad. I mean, in this Gold Cup, he's played in basically Clint Dempsey's role. I really don't think Clint Dempsey's going to get played out of that role. So I don't know. Klinsmann's going to have some major decisions to make based off of Donovan's performance here, because I think he's now in that consideration. And so, like you said, who do you drop? Who loses their spot? I'm not sure if you can really say that at this point.
I think it just goes to show how much these next World Cup qualifying games have, not only as an impact on the US men's national team's fate at the World Cup, but also on that squad and just who Jürgen Klinsmann is going to be taking. Earl, it's been an absolute pleasure to have a chat with a good man like yourself about all things US soccer. And whatever happens at the moment, as a US men's national team fan, man, you have to be a happy bunny sitting in a very pretty position in both the Gold Cup and in the hexagonal round World Cup qualification as well.
Very true, Ollie. Yeah, it's been a really great year, I think, for the U.S. men's national team. Coming off a year that there were some questions, you can't complain as a as a Yank fan. So, yeah, thanks for having me on, Ollie. I really appreciate it.
Hey, it's an absolute pleasure, Earl, and we look forward to catching up with you again later on as the tournament continues. In the meantime, you can find Earl on the United States of Football podcast on the World Football Daily Network, and Earl, we will catch up with you very soon indeed.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thanks a lot. Earl Reed there joining us here on World Football Daily to talk all things US soccer. And Earl there, as I said, one of our great contributors to the World Football Daily site. A man who contributes a lot to World Football Daily, of course, is a man who's going to be joining me right now. It's Mr. Rafael Gonzalez. Raf, how are we doing today, mate?